Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, it's one thing if you leave in free agency and you sign somewhere else, but it's another thing if you're traded. Just because, you know, a trade is a trade. It's, yeah, usually you're acquiring some type of asset in return, which you're trying to get, but you're also saying, like, we don't need your services anymore. Mm-hmm. And that, there's no way a player doesn't think about that in the back of their mind when they're going up against their former team. And I thought LT did a great job of channeling it last night, because he's a really fiery competitor, as you guys will come to find out. Like, he's chirping our guys in practices. If he makes a save, he's got some emotion and animation to him, which is great. I love his fire. And then when it gets to the game in that situation, you know, you can be a little bit worried that is he going to be able to, you know, just be under control and calm when he's trying to make his saves and going through his progressions. And I thought he did a tremendous job of that last night, of staying in the moment and doing what he needed to do, and made some big saves and in timely moments for us to hold on to that lead.
All right, so last week, Coach Carbs, you said the offense was going to be a work in progress, and it's going to be a season-long thing. Two games in, have you liked what you've seen out of your offense?
Yeah, we're doing a way better job. I mean, we still can – I think there's areas that we can continue to grow and get better at, but overall, especially last night, like one of our better games, I would say offensively over the last, you know, year and two games that I've been here, from expected goals against a really good team. Like, they're as good, they're right up there, top five, whatever you want to put them at, in the National Hockey League with all the Floridas, the Edmontons, the top teams in the league. So to be able to do that offensively against them, control play, ozone time, scoring chances, shot attempt shots, all those offensive metrics that we're trying to improve was a really, really good step. So, you know, we'll still early, but we want to just continue to build on that and replicate that, you know, tomorrow night against Dallas.
So as fans, we got to see Jacob Verana as a young player from 2016 all the way till 2021. And then he's kind of bounced around since Detroit, St. Louis, back here. How does he compare now versus what we saw 5 years ago? Is he the same type of player?
Yeah, same type of player. I think, you know, he's had some dips in his career, and I think he's just trying to build back to becoming that player that he once was, with his speed, shot, confidence. And there's a lot that goes into it mentally and physically, but he's the same player. He's got that, exactly what he showed last night. He's got an elite level shot at this, in this league, and he can beat goalies clean like he did last night. He's got great speed, great offensive instinct. So that stuff hasn't changed. It's a matter of just confidence, opportunity, his defensive detail getting better, and continuing to make sure that it's not becoming a liability to where the offensive doesn't outweigh his defensive game. So the player is definitely the same. Now we'll just try to keep building on getting him back to the player that he once was in the organization.
Coach, after the first game against the Devils on Saturday, what did you want to kind of tighten up in practice heading into the Golden Knights game?
We had a bunch of stuff we worked on technically, like X's and O's, a little bit of like protecting the net front, stopping in the defenses, like boring stuff. You guys don't want to hear about that.
No, I like it. I like the geeky X's and O's stuff. I do.
We talked about it, showed some film, went to work on it. But the biggest thing for me was, above all else, like, I thought we were okay from a competitive standpoint, a work standpoint. I thought we were okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we didn't go out and work and didn't go out and compete. I thought we did. But we need to be at another level when it comes to that. Competitiveness on the puck, winning 50-50s, winning body position, not even if the puck's available, like winning interior position offensively, and then defending, keeping guys out of our net front and winning that one. And I thought we left a lot on the table against New Jersey, and that has to be an MO of our team. And it was last year, and it will be again this year, but we really needed to say, all right, listen, like this, what the X's and O's are one thing and they're important, but we better come out here and it should be noticeable when Vegas leaves the building tonight that holy, that Caps team, they work and compete in every situation. I thought we were way better than that, just overall competitiveness.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Caps head coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. So Ovi gets two assists last night. He becomes the sixth player in NHL history with at least 700 goals and 700 helpers in his career. And that list is absurd. Gordie Howe, Phil Esposito, Marcel Dion, Wayne Gretzky, Jaromir Jagr. So, I mean, just elite company. But I wanted to throw in another stat for Ovi that I think gets slept on by a lot of people. His hits. He had six more hits last night. He's third all-time in NHL history with 3,647 hits. And he's doing this at, you know, in his late 30s, where the scoring is obviously still there and the assists are there, but the physicality for him is still, you know, front and center, which is pretty amazing at this point in his career.
Oh yeah, he was a man on a mission last night in a bunch of different departments, shooting the puck. Like he was back. He had a couple of one-timers from his spot that just missed, and he got all of them and was around the puck, moving his feet, physical, like you just touched on. Really, really happy with his game last night. He made a couple really, really good plays. Not only to set up the goal, but to keep some pucks alive. And then the forecheck pressure and him going through bodies is, you're right, it does get overlooked. And the guy at 39 to just be throwing, and he was doing that in the first game too, like barreling over guys left, right, and center, which is, that just goes to show you his competitive nature. Like he's not taking shifts off when it comes to physicality.
Coach, take us through the tweak of his position where you're playing him at right wing instead of his standard left wing. What went into that?
Yeah, it's more a product of, we have a bunch of left shot wingers. So Protoss is a left shot, McMichael is a left shot, Mangiapane is a left shot, Verana is a left shot. So usually what they call their strong side is them left shots usually, more times than not, play the left side. Right shots play the right shot. Ovi has always played his off wing, they call it. And, you know, partly because it puts your stick to the inside. So for shooters, some shooters play their offside because it gets your mm-hmm. stick. As a righty, you come down the left wing, your stick's to the inside. It's a better shooting angle.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose behind that is just for, it's more so for our lineup to help some guys get them on their onsides. Mangiapane, usually guys are better on their strong side, meaning lefty on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to move someone over to the right side when O plays the left. Am I making any sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just puts some guys in some tough spots. So talking to him, it's not a huge adjustment because guys end up on the left and right side throughout their shifts and that, but I think to start some of our wingers that like Protoss on the left side, Mangiapane back on the left side, I think that can help their game. And O playing the right side, I don't think it's a huge adjustment. It, you know, gets him on his strong side, a little bit easier for him to make some plays on his forehand as opposed to on your left side when he's a righty over there. He's got to make everything on his backhand, which is just a little bit more difficult of a play and harder to get as much velocity on your pucks when you're on your backhand.
So, Coach, on a personal level, it is spooky season, Cakes likes to call it.
Yeah, it's very spooky.
Halloween is coming up. I took a look at your schedule ahead. You guys play on Halloween, but you're home, I think, that Tuesday and that Thursday. What's the Carberry family doing? Are you dressing up at any point? What's going on there?
He's above that.
No,
he's not dressing up.
No, he's not. He dressed up last year.
I'm not going to give you guys the costume, but I am dressing up. Yeah. My house right now is... is like the Addams Family house. Like it is. There's a lot of stuff going on. and we are. We will have a get together. Halloween is a big holiday at our house, and so I'll send you guys some pics. It's going to be decked out.
Nice. Okay. Do you? All right. For my kid, Halloween. She's seven. It's like the Super Bowl. So we've already been to the Spirit Halloween store three or four times. Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. I want to say my wife's probably been 10 times. Like it's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We have stuff showing up in my house every day that I'm just like shaking my head. I just walk away.
Right. Coach, do you have any great memories as a kid of Halloween?
Oh, yeah. I loved Halloween growing up in Canada. It was huge. It was more... it was like a lot of fireworks related Halloween in Canada, which like firecrackers and all that stuff, which isn't great as a young kid. But
no,
that was
it's not. I almost blew my finger off the one as a kid. Stay away. Coach Carnes, are you a big scary movie guy? Spooky movie season?
I'm not so much. I'll watch them, but I'm not hunting out, you know, like the Freddy Krueger, all those,
By the way, how does it work? You have two young kids. I don't know the exact ages. Are they like 8 and 6, 12, 9 and 7?
12 and 10.
Oh, they're 12 and 10.
Yeah.
Are you knee deep in their sports and their activities?
So I'll tell you this. My son plays youth hockey, Triple N, so he's out. They're actually on an airplane on Halloween coming back from Chicago.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So they've got a whole elaborate plan, actually on the day, on the 31st, of handing out candy down the aisle on the airplane, this whole thing.
Mm. Very cool. All right, Coach, always a pleasure talking. Congrats on the first win of the season. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
Of course, thank you, buddy. Caps head coach Spencer Carberry, presented by Centers for Advanced Orthopedics, more physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, is this stupid? When Carberry was talking about how he likes to position his lefties on the left-hand side, I kind of was fist-bumping internally because on my soccer team, 7 and 8-year-old girls, I have 3 left-footed kids, which is surprising. Out of 11 kids,
that's
a lot of lefties.
Yeah.
And I do play them all on the left.
Well, it makes sense.
Which I feel a little bit bad at times that I'm pigeonholing them to the left side, but... I felt like Carbs in a different sport was
agreeing with you. Yeah, I think it's good coaching move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of standard, but you can think outside the box.
But actually, when I played, like EB and I played on a soccer team for 20 years, and I played high school soccer, I actually preferred playing on the left as a righty because I would cut back that way. But anyway, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when Carberry was saying that, I was thinking about my 7 and 8-year-old team.
Sure.
Got playoffs coming up, Cakes.
Very good.
Big.
Yep. Get him looming.
By the way, a lot of strategic changes that I'm making.
He is so nice.
Love him.
I know we always said that we were going to go to Beer Can Alley with the last guy.
Peter LaViolette.
I actually do want to have a beer with Carbs somewhere.
Carbs is my guy.
I've said that about every Caps coach.
I said it about Reardon.
He was a great guy.
Yep.
They just happen to all be good guys. They happen to all be good guys.
Yeah.
They really are. But, I mean, Carbs is extraordinarily friendly.
Yeah, he really is.
We may do this every time, but Carberry's the one seed. And LaViolette was the one seed.
LaViolette was great. Yeah. I really liked him.
And Yeah, they've all been good.
And Reardon was just super nice.
Couldn't have been nicer.
Is Reardon still assistant with...
Last I checked, he was assistant with the Pens, but those guys move around a lot, so I'd have to double check.
Listen, we've done dinners with people and stuff before. Let's do a dinner or something with Carbs.
I'd be down.
We should. What do you think, Drabby?
This would have been great about 30 days ago. He's a little busy right
now. Yeah, it's true. In season, yeah, tough.
It'll have to be in the off season, but okay. We can do it.
And I recommend a pasta place.
Pasta?
Yeah, for carbs.
Oh, nice. I like it. Well done,
always, always stick with
well
Valdez.
Well done. That's perfect. Perfectly placed.
All right. I know Valdez worked hard to get this audio. I want to hear it, too. It is Coach Quinn at his presser. The guy's got to sit there and talk to the media every day. He's asked a few questions. And obviously, the big question he's asked about is John Allen and replacing him.
When you lose a guy like that, you drafted Johnny Newton, you have Darren, how do you replace them? What's the plan there?
Yeah, for sure. It'll be a multitude of people and roles and how we can feature guys to do that, because John's rare and he's got unique skills and talent. So it's not just plug and play. And the good news, we got deep crew, and we'll feature all of them a little bit differently in finding the ways that we can do that. But yeah, we'll certainly miss John and the strength and the attitude that he brings inside.
Here's how I described it. I did that hit yesterday with our guy Derek Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
From what is it? Still the CW? Is it still the CW?
No, DC Live.
DC Live. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's DC Live.
Yeah. And I told him, listen, he asked me about replacing John Allen. And listen, John has been a stalwart here. You're going to miss his leadership. He had a couple sacks. He's starting to come on. I do think they have some guys. It's not going to get any better. That I could tell you, right? I'm not sure that it'll be a precipitous drop-off, because I do think that, you know, they drafted Newton for a reason.
Yeah.
Mathis will have an opportunity to shine. And these guys are just eating double teams,
mm-hmm.
and the other guy's got to make the plays,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think they'll be able to survive. It's not going to get better.
You're going
to
see a steady dose of Chuba Hubbard this upcoming weekend. Because, look, the Panthers, they don't want Andy Dalton throwing the ball 35, 40 times. They want to try to keep it on the ground and try to churn clock. Mm-hmm. Now, especially with John Allen gone, I would expect Chuba Hubbard to have a boatload of carries in this game.
Well, and for people that don't know, because if you're not a fantasy geek, you have no idea who Chuba Hubbard is. He's third in the NFL, 485 yards rushing. He's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, which is fourth in the NFL.
He's had a great year so far. Mm-hmm.
For rushing yards before contact. I'm stealing this from Commander's Wire.
And he was kind of an afterthought, because a lot of people thought that as soon as Jonathan Brooks, the guy they picked in the second round out of Texas, mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. ready to come off the injury list, they'd get him up and going. But Hubbard's been so good. Like, there's been no rush. Why would you rush him along in a lost season? Which, you know, there are going to be a lot of lost seasons for the Carolina Panthers, it looks like.
Yeah.
Hubbard's been, you know, taking on that full workload and succeeding.
They throw to him, too.
Right.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, they're the Panthers, so I do disrespect them.
Right.
But I do believe this is going to be a challenging game, and it's not as easy as it looked a few weeks ago.
It's not, but the Commanders' offense, the floor for them should be 28 to 30 points, because that's what the Panthers give up.
I hope so.
They just give it up to everybody. 38 last week to the Falcons.
They might be weak defensively, but you know, I heard that about the Ravens pass defense, and we didn't particularly exploit it. I mean, we did okay. Right. I mean, McLaurin had a couple touchdowns and Jaden made the plays, but their offense is a lot more functional. Andy Dalton, in how many games has he played? Three or four,
I think.
He's got seven touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been a lot more serviceable than Bryce.
I expect the Commanders to get back to, all right, we're gonna churn 160, 170 yards on the ground and just beat them to death that way.
And now, the thing that helps with facing Dalton is, you know,
he's not going to move.
He's not going to move.
Right. That's exactly what's going to bring
him. Right, so you can get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't get to him, he could beat you.
The issue is Dorrance Armstrong healthy? What is he looking like heading into the matchup?
I think he's going to play.
Hopefully he's good to go.
Yeah. All right, let's we still have a couple more clips here from DQ. Let's go to the second clip here, Valdez, where he's asked about what's holding Forbes back from getting, you know, being active, being on the field.
And to, sort of to that end, one guy that is an outside corner is Emmanuel Forbes. You guys haven't used him much really the last two games, inactive this week. What at this point is holding Forbes back from getting on the field in a significant way defensively?
Yeah, and we'll look for that again this week, Ben. Really, honestly, we just wanted to add another defensive lineman up last week. Baltimore, I believe, had used the fewest, you know, three wide receiver sets leading into the game. So going in, we thought, man, we just need as much, you know, line of scrimmage help as we could. So we dressed an extra defensive lineman. So it wasn't performance related in that space. And as we get into next week, we certainly expect the man to, you know, back into the space and going for it in that way.
That's kind of what I thought. I mean, now listen, in the week prior to that, he'd only played four snaps. So it's not like you guys, you know, burning it up. But that was my instinct, too. They wanted more big guys to try to tackle
him. Yeah, but it is performance-based because he's not a starter.
Yeah.
He's way down on the depth chart. Yeah, so it is performance-based. Like, he's saying it's not performance-based. We had to bring up a defensive lineman. Well, you still had to have corners. He's not one of their top corners. He's supposed to be a top corner.
He's not.
He's not. He's not. Down on the depth chart, probably number five or six for them.
That's probably true. And when you're vulnerable like that, you know, obviously you're right on the edge. But I do think he'll be – I would expect him to be up and play a little bit this week.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And I'm still not going to write
him off. But he's got to make plays.
He's got to make some plays. He's got it.
I mean, if he's getting beat, he's going back to the bench.
Where's the ball-hawking plays that we kept hearing about?
I know. We heard so much about that when he was drafted.
And that's why we just said, oh, it's okay. He's a little light. Mm-hmm. He's skinny, but he's a ball hawk.
Right.
He's a ball hawk.
He's going to make a bunch of plays on the ball.
And you just haven't seen that yet. So that's what I want to see. And, you know, I don't want to throw the guy in the trash yet. So I'm still kind of holding out a little bit of hope. That's why I'm defending him.
But, you know,
yeah, but they like... They like Noah better.
Well, he's a veteran. He looked good last
week. Sandstrill better, who they drafted.
Everybody likes
Sandstrill.
They like
St. Juice.
They like St. Juice better. They like Davis better.
I don't think they like Davis better. I think Davis played and was poop, and they shut him down.
Then they said, you know what, take a seat over here.
I don't think they like Davis better.
What, was Davis active last week?
Well, again, I think they wanted bigger guys.
They just never call his name. They just never call his name.
Who?
What? Davis.
I don't think he plays a ton.
And Carolina's got a big receiver in the rookie, Xavier Leggett, and he's 6'3", 230.
He's
so
a big dude.
So St. Juice is going to be on him, I would assume.
You don't know his touchdown celebration. You don't know what it is. Mm-mm. He rides a horse.
Oh, the giddy up, yeah.
You'll be bitter if you see Xavier Leggett fake riding a horse in the end zone.
You don't
want to
see him riding
Stadium.
A horse.
Yeah. Pat, can you show me how he does it?
Sure.
Does he whip the horse?
Catches the ball.
Yeah.
He does this.
Oh, that's what he does.
This bit.
I thought he doesn't whip the horse, though.
No.
That's what I would do if I was riding a horse.
He's not riding in the Kentucky Derby. He's just riding a horse.
Just trotting.
Like he's a South Carolina guy. From the sticks in South Carolina, if you've ever heard him talk. Yeah. And he's just riding his horse for leisure. He's not riding any thoroughbreds like Valdez used to own.
And last but not least, that's a generous
standard bread.
Standard bread.
Thoroughbreds are actually... horses that you would see in a derby.
I know. I was
standardbreds are the only ones that you see if you're a degenerate.
Forgot the name of the horse.
Mama Grizzly.
Mama Grizzly.
Yeah, how can you forget that?
By the way,
junkie's lore.
So don't attack me. I'm allowed to forget things. Did Mama Grizzly go to the glue factory?
Like, I don't know.
Do we know Mama Grizzly's fate?
We sold him to an Amish person.
I know you did that. But do we know since?
There's been no follow up.
Still with us.
So is Mama Grizzly actively pulling like an Amish wagon somewhere in central Pennsylvania?
Not. It's been so long. It's probably dead by now, right?
Possibly.
No. These horses they live forever. 30 years old.
Yeah, they live
forever. But I mean, it wasn't a spry.
I'm going to say Mama Grizzly is still alive, still with us.
You really?
He's probably working.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, for sure.
But the new owner changed the name, you think? Like, could you do a search right now?
I just did a search for a Mama Grizzly.
Could you track down Mama Grizzly?
No, she's gone.
No,
she's gone. Because this is a horse racing nation.
Yeah, how are the Amish going to keep? Put him or her on a website. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Ezekiel's not giving us updates.
Well, so the Amish person didn't buy to race
No.
So pull a horse and buggy.
As a pet.
Or to plow a field, or to pull something.
Yeah. Maybe this
that's hilarious. Maybe so. I probably see them when I go up to New York sometimes, and I see these Amish on the side of the road.
Yeah, you go through Amish Dutch country.
Yeah. Scream Mama Grizzly, see if the horse turns around and looks at you. Yeah.
Hey, did Mama? According to this, Mama Grizzly was a 17-year-old mare and raced in 2011.
Okay. Does that timeline work?
No.
Yeah. Wasn't 17.
Right. It's a different Mama Grizzly.
Probably a different Mama Grizzly. Somebody else with a silly horse
How
name.
Did you guys spell your mama? Was it M-A-M-A?
Yeah, but there's all kinds of horses with the same name.
Right.
Different racing circuits. Believe me, she wasn't 17.
Yeah.
Pete Medhurst would tell us that would be a good idea to buy a 17-year-old
horse. She moved like she was 17, but she wasn't 17.
Yeah. All right.
Did Pete Medhurst think you guys
five.
Were going to get rich? Like, he was convinced.
No, but he was just their advisor.
I mean, right.
He was their advisor.
He's been in the horse game for a long time. He knew those donks weren't getting rich off of one standard brand.
You'd be surprised by our conversation.
I think Pete thought that they were going to be swimming in it.
Yeah. Huh. Pete's a great guy. I miss Pete
post games for the Ravens.
Oh yeah, no, he does. Dude,
he's a hard worker.
He's the hardest working guy, and
ever.
He's also super talented.
Mm-hmm.
A guy can literally call
any
sport.
Totally.
And he does that for the Naval Academy.
He does.
Trust me, I listen to a lot of like college broadcasters and ESPN Plus broadcasters, especially like with lacrosse and volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are horrific.
Right.
Like you literally have to turn it off. It's brutal.
Yeah, Pete, he just sounds like a pro.
He's an expert.
He's great.
And he's just waiting for Johnny Holiday to retire. He just won't retire.
No, he's actually waiting for somebody else to retire.
I think he's
getting a big gig. I might have some intel on that.
Oh, really?
I think he's getting a big gig.
Ooh, good for him.
Yeah.
You're not letting the cat out of the bag too early,
I'm
are you?
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't know he was gunning for Johnny Holiday's gig. Well, he just threw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just conversations from a long time ago.
No. Johnny Holiday's
still going strong.
Yeah, Johnny's unbelievable.
Is he like 86?
Yeah.
Well, he just had a birthday. Like, he's either 84 or 86.
Johnny's smart because if he retires, he's just going to die. So you got to keep working.
He's going to die anyway.
No, but it does keep you a little vibrant.
Okay.
It does keep you a little bit more involved.
87.
I'm surprised he survived through the Terps Northwestern game.
Can you play the last clip of DQ?
That game was brutal.
I'm surprised he didn't just leave at halftime. See ya.
Last clip of
DQ,
and he's asked about if winning the NFC East is a realistic goal. I think we all think it is.
They're in first place.
It's a loss, but if you look at the standings, Washington is atop the NFC East. I wonder if you consider that a realistic goal to win the division, and if it even early in the season is something you put out to the guys as a carrot at all.
Yeah, you want to put it out not now, but at the beginning, and knowing that this is a tough division, but that's always comes first in terms of how you want to play in terms of the division. So I believe we only had one so far division game. So as you go and you get into those games, you know, that's when you get to really talk about the matchups and why they carry so much weight. So, honestly, we don't really talk much about expectations, and then we don't put a lot of stress on that. What we do put a lot of stress on is like how much better we can get. And it's just, can you get better? Can your unit get better? Can we do that again this week and going through the process for that? So we don't try to get jammed up on expectations or things are down the line or any of that. We just try to dig right into this week and say, this is, you know, we're based on improvement. It's like a lifestyle we live here, man. Like, can you get better? Can you dig in further? Can you get to that spot? And so that's kind of the stressor that we go, not on outside expectations. I recognize the question about the division because it is really important to talk about that. But you don't really talk about those until you talk about the division games when you're playing in them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
When is this? You know what I'm struck by? The polite nature of all this. When are we going to get the football coach? Like, when are we going to get
him.
He's just going to be polite and nice all the time?
He's a relentlessly positive
dude. The media. He gets fired up, though, on the sideline.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I guess I just want – he's a little bit too polite for
me.
I know that sounds weird.
Right.
I don't know if you're a good lip reader. He drops a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, yeah,
no doubt. And I've seen him in the post-game stuff.
Yeah. He's just media savvy. Like, he just –
Okay.
A good forward face.
I consider that. This is trivial, but I consider it fake. Get rid of the fake stuff. Let's just be real.
Right.
I want my football coach.
You need a cursor and a screamer.
I need a little bit more raw.
Fiery.
A little bit more raw. He's a little bit too genteel with the question.
But we can all agree, better than Ron.
Oh,
better than Ron
close.
When he stepped to the podium.
Not even close.
Way better.
Not even
so
close.
So we'll take that.
Yeah. I think he's just a sincerely nice guy.
He's just a good dude.
So it's not. I just want him to just be a little bit more football-y.
Players love him.
I know.
He gets fired up. He's like one of them.
I like him. I just want him to be a little bit more. Little more.
You mean to the media?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little.
I just don't think that's his personality.
More ballsy. I don't know.
Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Relax. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Good start to the live spot.
It's fine. It's not a big deal. We all know plumbing problems always seem to strike at the worst possible time. It's inevitable. You should also know that no matter your plumbing predicament nor when it occurs, you can schedule an appointment with the Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing experts at CropMetcalf.com. Save time and schedule now to have a Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing technician at the ready to expertly handle any plumbing pickle you may find yourself in. You don't even have to call. All you have to do is visit CropMetcalf.com to schedule. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Mike Renner is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock, one of the best NFL analysts. He's now with CBS Sports. But right now, time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. Didn't get to do True False Tuesday, but I kept the questions.
Okay, True False Wednesday?
Tweaked it.
Okay, good.
True False, the Jets will make the playoffs this season.
I got
Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers has 68 touchdown passes to Devontae Adams.
I'd go false. I mean, look at 2-4.
Now, look, the next two are certainly winnable. Steelers, Patriots on the road. Still got to play the Texans. Got to play the Seahawks. Let's see if Tua gets back for the Dolphin games. They do play Jacksonville, winnable Rams, Bills again. I mean, they got some winnable games.
I'm pro Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say yes.
Is Rodgers going to start playing better?
Right now, they're just a game behind.
Horrifically. I mean, he's got 9 touchdowns.
He's not horrific, but
it's not typical Aaron Rodgers.
He's making mistakes that are costing them games.
For sure.
So here's your top 6 teams. All right, 7 make playoffs. But your top 6 are the Chiefs 5-0, Texans 5-1, Ravens 4-2, Bills 4-2. You got to believe they're all going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Then it starts getting a little more questionable. Steelers are 4-2, Chargers are 3-2. But the 7 seed right now is the Colts at 3-3. And then you've got teams like the Broncos are 3-3. And then you're into the 2-win territory, which is where the Jets are. So they're really a game behind. I think ultimately they should be better than the Colts.
They're not out of it, but
especially
why
the Colts
have they
go to Anthony Richardson
straight?
Again?
Why have they lost 3 straight?
Well, they're a flawed team, and their wins are against poo.
So are they going to get considerably better? You would think Adams helps them, but they have offensive guys.
Yeah. Now, the other team
Rodgers is a little rusty, too.
That might continue.
I would say the Bengals are lurking. Like, I would not count out the Bengals.
Bengals should get the 3-4. They get the Browns this weekend. They should win that game.
Yeah, and then they're right there for the last wild card spot.
Well, the question is, can the Dolphins just kind of hang around, 500 before Tua gets back? Play the Colts on the road, then they get the Cardinals at home. I mean, do you think Tua's back before the Bills game in 3 weeks?
He's probably back week 8 or week 9.
Okay, so that might be
kind of the timeline they're hoping for.
Right, maybe he's back for the Bills game.
Yep.
True or false, all 3 NFC East coaches, not named Dan Quinn, will be gone next season.
Ooh, McCarthy, Dable, and Sirianni all gone?
False.
I'd say false.
That's a good
question. One of them, at least one of them survives. I'm not sure which one, but I don't think all 3 are gone.
Which ones are locks to be gone?
I think Dable.
If the Cowboys make the playoffs, I'm not sure that JJ will fire McCarthy. If they don't, I think he's gone.
Right. He's in the last year of his deal.
Yeah. So maybe two of the three are gone? Yeah. I mean, what if the Eagles go on a run and win the division? How, you going to fire Sirianni?
If you want Belichick, you might.
Okay.
I mean, we had Ben Valin on yesterday. He said Belichick's very close with Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it could be, that could be a fit there.
Well, why didn't he hire him this past year?
Maybe he just thought Sirianni deserved one more year. I don't know.
True or false, the 5-0 Chiefs will lose to the Niners this Sunday for their first loss of the year.
False.
Are you just saying that to protect your heart?
I want to bet against the Chiefs, but they just find ways to win. I'll say false. Somehow they find a way to get to 6-0.
I hope I'm wrong. I just, the 49ers defense has been leaky, especially in the fourth quarter this year. And if this game's tight and Mahomes has to go down the field to, you know, to tie the game or win the game, they've just been really leaky, blowing double-digit leads in some of these games in the fourth quarter. They just haven't been very strong. So, yeah, and they still have some injuries in the secondary. Kind of depends on how well Purdy plays, I
guess.
Pretty
amazing that the Chiefs are 5-0 without Rashee Rice and with no Isaiah Pacheco. They're just getting it done with spare parts like Juju stepping up. Kelsey, obviously, they've leaned on him more after a slow start to the season.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy hasn't done much as a rookie. He's had a few flashes, but he's not heavily involved.
Yeah, but their defense has become
dominant.
They've only allowed 85 points, which is second in the AFC. Chargers have only given up 66 points in five games.
I mean, it's a big game. It's huge.
I feel like the Chiefs are going to get tripped up this week. They're just due for a loss. Same thing.
I mean,
with
we
the Vikings.
Keep saying that, but they keep winning.
I know.
Coming off a bye, too.
Yeah. Oh, look, Andy Reid's record coming off a bye is ridiculous, too.
True or false? The Steelers are making a mistake by giving Russell Wilson first team reps and possibly starting him on Sunday.
I'll go false because I kind of buy into what Mike Tomlin is saying. It's like, look, we're just going to give this other guy a shot because he's basically telling you Fields has been good. He hasn't been great.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see if Russell Wilson has the potential to elevate the offense and get guys like George Pickens more involved.
See, Justin Fields for the year is complete. His QBR is 54.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in six games, he's completing 66% of his passes, which, by the way, is a lot better than what he was doing in Chicago.
Right.
It's the rushing.
It's it's rushing. Yeah, it's rushing.
The rushing
been really
is
good.
What's keeping him alive because
he's got five touchdowns.
So you have to look at the balance there. You're not going to get that rushing with Russ. Like, that's not going to be sustained if Russ is the starting quarterback.
He's been a really good manager.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, in the run game, he's been good, but I guess they just feel like going with Russ, they're going to be more explosive in the passing game. I think that might be a little
but
dicey.
But the thing that I question is Arthur Smith's the OC there, and he loves running the ball.
That's true.
So why would you go away from the quarterback that is really good at running the ball for an aging Russell Wilson who just doesn't have the legs that he used to?
Tomlin hasn't declared the starter. He said it's up for consideration, but Russell Wilson's getting the first team reps in practice, so maybe he's just taking a look-see.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Orlovsky do a breakdown, and he disagrees with the move to Russell Wilson because he said Justin Fields is getting these yards, not just running the football, but like just escaping sacks.
And they're playing the Jets who can get off the
court. And he's saying that you put Russell Wilson back there.
He's going down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what they do. I mean, they got the Jets and the Giants at home the next 2 weeks.
800-636-1067 is the number. You want to call us in the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.